I'm Mike Bloomberg, and I approve this message. This is a list of all the people who contributed not only to Radio Labyrinth and became producers of the show. These are also people who willingly or unwillingly support me in my quest to take down the current president of the United States. Please allow me to thank Radio Labyrinth producers Brett Perkins, Jason Chappell, Mike Hall, Al McKeon, Sean Hall, Chad Shepard, Tim Slayton, Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, Todd Ellis, Melissa Knowles, Brian Smith, John Sutherland, Mike D, Matt Carter, Eric Malmstrom, Daniel Pitts, and Keith Tate. Thank you so much for supporting not only Radio Labyrinth, but Mike Bloomberg for president. Mike Bloomberg 2020. I'm Mike Bloomberg, and I have approved this message.
Step right up, step right up. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, gather around. Let me tell you all about the Mac and Jack Wonder Potion.
Health officials are now saying the coronavirus may cause millions of people around the world to have to self-quarantine at home.
Please don't tell the supervisor I have the flu.
The hoax is on them.
In response, Pornhub said, we are ready.
House cat flu is coming, people.
Down with disease. 3 weeks in my bed.
In business, and in each and every one of my restaurants, appearance is key.
Hi, I'm world-famous actor slash entertainer Kevin Bacon.
If anybody loves trains, it's me, Johnny Cash. You know, if your boy's under 10 like mine is, he needs a big Lionel like this Black River Freight. Lionel also makes HO gauge trains for older kids like this Burlington 181. But for smaller hands, the big Lionel is easier to handle and put on the track. This Christmas, get your boy a train that's built for the way young boys play. A big, rugged Lionel.
Good Lord. Flu germs entering every orifice in my head.
What? Come on, bitch.
The hoax is on them.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 9 of Radio Labyrinth. We don't know how to label it properly in iTunes or whatever. So what should we do? Jeff suggested that we stop calling it 502, 503, because people will go, 500 episodes? I'm not watching that. Or what, listening to that.
Can we do it like Roman numerals?
What?
I think the season thing was working. Because, see, I go season 5, episode 9, and I only got 9 episodes. I can catch up.
But the last time I did that, people complained that they couldn't put it in order. Because, I don't know.
No, that's crap.
What?
That's crap.
How do you
no,
do it?
What you do is you use the season designation in Apple itself. So it's season 1, season 2, season 3, and we just label them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
We don't put it in the title. We leave the title the title. We don't put
S-O-5-E-O-1. Oh, so I could put that when we submit it on our
right.
server, it gives you that option to do that.
Right.
All right,
so that's
we'll
how
just
I
do
choose,
that.
That's how I choose the season.
Okay. That's Alan, by the way. Alan Sanders.
Hey, everybody.
And Walt.
Hey.
Introduce yourselves, fellas.
Hey, I'm Walt Murray from The Wilder Ride, and Alan Sanders, also the host of The Wilder Ride.
And we are going to talk to these guys, about their upcoming new season of The Wilder Ride, another movie with Gene Wilder, where they do explain what the podcast is.
Pretty simple. We look at a movie 1 minute at a time. Not that the podcast is only 1 minute, but each episode only looks at 1 minute of the running time of the movie. So
all right.
The first minute is the opening credits. We'll talk about whatever's in the opening credits for whatever's in the first 60 seconds. After that, you know, we'll have guests, we'll talk, whatever, and then we go through the whole movie. So if the movie's, let's say, a 2-hour-long movie, we'll have 120 episodes for the season.
Nice.
Yeah, I think we've already done Young Frankenstein, which I think was 96 minutes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And Blazing Saddles, which is about 102 minutes.
Both of those were good. Jeff and I were on both. Steph, you were on one, weren't you?
Mm-mm.
You'll be on the other
Autumn
one.
Autumn was on one, yeah. Steph will be on this year. She just doesn't know it yet.
We've already committed
been invited,
you.
We're
so...
trying to find the worst minute in...
Oh, if you could do that for me.
When Ned Beatty's hitting on Joe Clayburgh. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I keep holding out for Stir Crazy. Because that's my favorite.
It's a great
It's the
movie.
First rated R movie I ever saw as a kid.
Really?
My mom took me to see it, which was...
It was on HBO. That's how I saw
well,
it.
Well, this was a very big deal because my mom was like super religious, but she was such a huge fan of Gene Wilder, and she loved Richard Pryor, which was very odd, and she took me to see Stir Crazy. And there was really no boobs, really, in Stir Crazy. No.
It was very disappointing.
Well, I mean, but she was fine with it. So it was, you know, it was one of those. I remember her laughing so hard, especially.
Well, ironically, we chose Silver Streak for our third season because it is the very first time that Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor pair up. And then there's, of course, three other movies that they'll pair up. A lot of people think of them as one of those original kind of oddball couple pairings in the 70s that, you know, Stir Crazy was the second movie they did. Then Richard Pryor decided to light himself on fire, had to get rehab, and then they came back and did See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
What a horrible movie.
And it, you got to go back and rewatch it. And then Another You, okay, which if you want to label a horrible movie of the
that
four,
one is terrible.
That's the terrible
didn't,
one.
Didn't Richard Pryor badmouth Silver Streak a little bit after he got out of rehab or whatever?
I think he kind of went on a tirade about everything he had done for a while. Was... And, but I know later on he talked about how good it was and what a good time he had had doing it.
That's right. It seemed so out of character to go off against Silver Streak because it's such a good movie and he's so great in it.
I was going to say he is really, really good in it. He is really solid.
Well, there's a lot of things we didn't know about him. We didn't know he was diddling Marlon Brando. There was a lot of things going on with
him. Get the butter, Richard.
It was before the internet. You know, stuff like that just didn't get out there.
I want you to stir crazy me. Hop on Blazing Saddles. Could you imagine what it would have been like with Marlon Brando then?
Of course, in the 70s, he was still handsome Marlon Brando.
You do a pretty good Brando.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I
gotta
say,
it's not too bad.
Don't mention his name in front of me. He's the antithesis of anything that's a thespian.
You know who he's talking about? Burt Reynolds.
Oh, right. Don't. So ridiculous.
One time, he's in love. He worships at the altar of his own narcissism.
So jealous.
That's what he says about him.
I saw him at this thing, and there was a little Indian kid there with his mother, and he took him away from the mother, and he just wanted the picture with the Indian kid, and then he says, you know, the kid didn't want to be with him. He wanted to be with his mother. You know who I like better than Richard Pryor? Wally Cox.
Why? Why do you like Wally Cox better?
He was tender. He wasn't as rough as Richard. Wally was great. Mr. Peepers.
You know, Marlon Brando had sex with Wally. It was his boyfriend, Wally Cox.
Yes, I've heard that.
Mm-mm. Anyway.
That's in my book of all of Marlon Brando's boyfriends.
It's that book that Marlon Brando released. It was a biography or an autobiography. You opened it up, and one of the pictures in the picture section in the middle was him with his lips on a penis.
It was a pop-up book?
Yeah, it was one of those 3D, one of those 3D pop-ups. Like, careful, don't read too close under the covers. Might get something in your eye.
And it was a very, very, classy Mapplethorpe-esque type of photography.
Oh, it was classy.
Black and white.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As long as it's artsy, then it's
like
okay.
Madonna sex book.
I sleep with the hot dogs.
There's nothing wrong with a sausage or two.
Never go against the family.
You can act like a man.
All right. Hey, guys, if you're interested in a podcast that talks about all this crazy stuff that's going on in the world, whether it's politics, whether it is the coronavirus, or if you're a snooty person, you call it COVID-19. Or the Wuhan virus, but, you know, snooty.
Wuhan.
I saw somebody on Twitter say, if you call the coronavirus COVID-19, you're like Obama who called ISIS ISIL.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
ISIL. I'm the only one that calls it ISIL. Anyway.
I have Dos Equis virus.
I know you do. I got a bad case of Negro Modelo.
I just got a bad case of Billy Beer.
Damn.
Billy Beer. We had that. It was... A lot of people I knew growing up, adults and whatnot, they would get that and then encase it in glass and never open the can.
Yeah, my dad had a six-pack in a box for a long time. He finally just dumped it in the garden and threw the cans away.
That's probably the smart thing. And then there was JR beer. Remember JR Ewing beer?
Yes.
I call the coronavirus, I call it the demonstration crusher.
Why?
Because you want demonstrations to end, you release the coronavirus.
Well, it is odd
Take
timing.
Take that Hong Kong protester.
Right?
It was odd timing.
Yeah.
Take that, Hong Kong protester.
Wouldn't that be great? Showing up at a rally and all of a sudden going, sorry, guys, I just came back from China.
Did you guys see that guy? Did you guys see the, I don't know what network it was on. It might have been Fox. They were interviewing this guy who had coronavirus, quarantine and all that, and he beat it, and he's sitting there holding his kid.
Oh,
but the whole time he's talking to the kid, they're sharing the water bottle, and he's coughing. And then you don't know, but everybody's fighting in the Twitter thread. But it turns out that, well, they both had it, or she didn't get it or whatever, and that it's just normal for you because of the distress it causes your respiratory whatnot. What do they call it? Your air hole?
Yeah. I thought that was a fake video, honestly.
You did? I didn't think so.
I thought it was fake because it was so ridiculous.
It's another one of the viruses. We had MERS, which is Middle Eastern MERS. Respiratory Syndrome. We had H1N1. Yeah. We had SARS. We had, I mean, all of these are...
Don't forget Ebola. Biden, he cured it. Yeah. Cured Ebola. Never made it here in the United States.
But, I mean, honestly, they're all respiratory issues. The flu is a respiratory issue.
Yeah,
I mean,
but right now, all this is breaking in America, especially down here in the South, where you're about to get the worst pollen season we've had in a decade because of all the rain. It's going to be a fun spring.
Yeah, I've already got it.
I do, too. I'm already
brutal.
Yeah.
Wash your hands, man. Wash your hands.
Yeah.
That's like the number one way to not get...
To stop pollen?
Get you on the mask.
To not catch a virus.
The mask.
Wash your hands.
They don't want you buying the mask.
You know, you're not supposed to wear the mask. The mask is so your germs don't go out to other people. It's not going to prevent it from coming into you.
Keep pollen from getting into your nose and mouth.
If you're cutting the grass, that's
the
whole
way it would
story.
Work on you is if you had the respiratory thing on there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Where it filters the air coming.
You need the whole encapsulated mask. But
well, we have a bunch of them at the Andrews Spread. And yesterday I went out and I bought 5 cans of soup. To get us through the shortage.
No toilet paper, though. Just a box of koozies.
I don't need toilet paper. I really don't. If I stand over a bucket wide enough, I'm fine.
Use the dogs.
You have leaves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have this thing. Yeah, there's leaves in the backyard.
You got those Larry David toilets?
Oh, my God. Yes. Those look great.
Well, I've noticed that the three of us who wear beards have not listened to anything the CDC said about shaving our faces.
No, I'm going to shave my face when I start wearing the mask when I have the disease. I just don't want to die.
You're just going to leave mutton chops?
Mutton chops, yes.
And you know, we're all, everyone at this table, we are the prime age group to catch this crap.
No, we're not.
It's 47 to 55-year-olds are the most likely to catch it.
But we're also in the age that as long as you're healthy, you're probably most likely to rebound from it.
I'm not
infants.
Healthy.
It's infants, it's
old people. You're
probably
going to die, Tim.
It's people with respiratory issues, autoimmune issues. Yeah. Stephanie, I do want to add one thing. You're right. Washing your hands is important, but keep them out of your face, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
The biggest thing, don't pick your nose, your eyes, your mouth, especially
that's
whatever.
What I do on the way home after a good broadcast.
Well, wash your
morning.
Hands first.
And that's why.
Wash your hands first.
Men are more likely to die from this than women.
Why?
Because they're disgusting.
Oh, well.
Yeah. That's true.
I know some women who are pretty fucking
Gene Wilder
gross.
Himself said picking a nose was a dirty habit.
I know a worse one.
Yes,
I
know.
That's right.
So anyway, back to what I was talking about. Hey, listen, if you're looking for up-to-the-minute news without all the propaganda and spin, check out the Propaganda Report's Drive Time News Blast with Monica Perez and Brad Binkley. Monica and Brad most recently were on WSB Radio in Atlanta every Saturday, now moving toward podcast only. Monica and Brad bring you 30 minutes of the news of the day from a perspective of truth, liberty, and justice, and that's every weekday on the Propaganda Report podcast. If you want to find out more, go to thepropreport.com, and you can find it anywhere on your favorite podcasting platform.
So you're saying they're actually just going to give us facts without any opinion or conjecture?
Oh, no, it's all opinion and conjecture, but it's great. It's
no facts.
So it's not news.
If you spend the day listening to talk radio or watching your favorite network news or cable news, you can find out some cool stuff. What?
And they should play a little promo for us on their podcast.
They will when I get one done.
We've been talking about that for months.
Guys, you know our good friend Brian Silverbacks, he was recently on the show talking about...
He's at Pensacon right now.
Oh, he's at Pensacon right now. Not listening. But he has a new comic book coming out in, it's coming out in May, and it's called Loggerhead. He's gearing up for the launch of his debut comic book brought to you by Scout Comics. Loggerhead is a gritty tale of revenge set to be published in May. The world as we knew it changed after the last great wars, leaving a large portion of North America a dead wasteland apparently run by turtles. Loggerhead's Bloody Bayou number 1 will hit store shelves on May 13th, 2020 with an SRP of $3.99. If you want to get it, contact your local comic book store and tell them it is available now for pre-order through Previews World. From Scout Comics. So make sure you tell your local comic book shop that you want Loggerhead stocked. And the artwork is amazing.
It is really cool.
I narrated a little intro for him in an intro video that he used, so I'm glad he liked that. So, awesome. You guys ready to start?
Sure.
Okay. We'll get to you guys in a few.
We're just happy to be here.
We're happy that you're here. Let's do some of the most recent up. Oh, wait a minute. We can do that in a second. There's something else I wanted to promote. Our fan Fuxi,
he's great. He's a great artist.
Contributing listeners, great artist. He is working on a new sticker for us that I've approved. Sorry, guys. It's just Steph wearing a bikini.
Oh, my God.
No, it's not.
Beware your eyes.
It is a typical Gen X guy bedroom. Sans the stacks of horked jom. Horked, we've discovered, means stolen, theft. And jom, well, that meant jerk-off material. That's what Jeff and I called it. And we horked it, we shoplifted it. Jeff being the outlier because... while his dad had all the Playboys in the office, Jeff had Velvet Hustler and Sherry stacked up in his closets. Jeff had a closet full of porn at age 16, like a stack you could knock over.
So gross.
You could stop a bullet with this pornography. Remember?
Well, no.
No, you don't remember.
Hey, you know, variety's the spice of life. You got to have some choices out there.
We're talking Ginger Lynn, Tracy Lords, Christy Canyon era. So, of course, it's the classic pornography. But anyway.
Oh, that's the 80s porn. That's great.
What we're talking about. Gen X bedroom. But this doesn't have any of that. It's a cleansing sticker with Mr. T on the wall. When it's finished, we'll make sure to get it out to everybody.
You're stupid.
I pity the fool.
Oh, gosh. All right, Steph, go ahead.
Well, we're talking about the news this week.
Yeah.
Biggest deal.
Yeah.
One of the top stories in pop culture, anyway. And I
got to go to the hospital before we tell this story.
What?
What do you think I'm doing? No, I'm going with the Weinstein.
Oh. What did he do?
He's guilty of.
He is not guilty.
He's guilty.
What did he do?
I don't know. He just kind of like forced himself on like 90 women.
How could he force himself? He has a vagina.
That's what, but he has a big body though.
He does.
He can, you know, rambarge you into stuff.
Big fat buffalo bastard.
I mean, he yanked off into a plant, so there was that too. And then he just straight up raped a couple of women just for, you know, I guess. And
you guess what?
Well, that's just Harvey being Harvey.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it was the 80s. It was crazy.
If you listen to the Ronan Farrow's Catch and Kill podcast, it is so good. I don't care what you think of Ronan Farrow. He tells a story, and the way he lays it out, it is like listening to real news. I mean, he has actual facts that have been verified, right. Fact-checked, and verified.
I don't like him because he won't admit his dad didn't really do that.
How do you know his dad didn't really do that?
Hang on. Because Mia Farrow's nuts, and the other adopted brother that never gets mentioned has said she's crazy, and she told him to say all those things.
Well, his sister says that it happened.
Yeah, she was a baby when it happened.
She wasn't a baby. She was like 6 years old.
Google it. Two.
Oh, whatever.
No, maybe Satchel was two. Here's why I don't believe it, though. Because the oldest
because
one...
Because he married his own stepdaughter that
who
was
cares?
Like seven.
That's weird. Doesn't mean he molested her. Also,
I like what he has.
Let me say, though.
I mean, what do you want?
The adopted kid that was around before Satchel, the guy you like, Satchel Paige... Or Satchel Allen.
I was going to say Satchel Paige.
Frank Sinatra's kid?
Yeah. He's really playing that up. I'm just saying, he's a great journalist. He's a good journalist, those books or whatever.
He's not just he's brilliant. I mean, he went to college when he was 11.
Nah.
He did his law degree by the time he was 17.
CIA. He's,
You're such a...
Anyway, go ahead.
You're ridiculous. I don't care what you think of him. Weinstein really did this shit.
Oh, I know. Weinstein's a pig.
And he's guilty.
And I can't wait till he goes to jail, but he's not going to.
Yes, and I hope he does eat Cosby's Jell-O forever.
He will die in prison.
He may swing before he gets there.
Yeah, he'll kill himself.
You think he's going to kill himself?
Uh-huh.
I think he will.
I feel like he knows a lot of stuff about a lot of people, very Epstein-ish.
Yeah, like...
I would think that Epstein knows more... Because this guy cared about himself. All he cared about was,
true.
I'm making this movie, I'm rich, I'm disgusting, I have a pineapple face. Because he did. And he's just a pig. So I'm going to make all these women, Annabella Sciorra, I feel bad for her because her career started off well, and then she dropped off the face of the earth for a long time.
Well, Rosanna Arquette, she was doing well.
Yep.
He invites her up to talk about Romeo is Bleeding.
Yep.
He's going to give her the wife as Gary Oldman's. The role is Gary Oldman's wife in that.
Right.
So she comes over, and then when she gets there, they tell her that it's up in the room, which she said is not crazy. Back then, a lot of times, if you came from the East Coast, they would rent a suite. You have the meeting in the living room area. It was not a big deal. She goes up there. He greets her at the door in the bathrobe. Within, like, seconds, he's grabbing her hand, trying to make her grab his vagina.
Right.
Within seconds. And she's like, screw you. I'm not doing this. And that was it. We didn't see shit out of Rosanna or Kit again for like 20 years. And that's what he did.
Right.
He would tell everybody that you're difficult.
Rose McGowan.
Difficult. Yeah, exactly.
She was in everything for a short amount of time, and then boom, you didn't see her. She was on Charmed. I mean, they did the TV show, but...
And you know, it is when you really think about it, like, I love Brad Pitt. I love him.
Yeah.
But to know that he knew back in the day, because Paltrow told him that she did it. So he went up to Weinstein and threatened to beat his ass, but still continued to work on Miramax films.
Mm-hmm.
He did Inglorious Bastards after that.
But everybody knew this. I mean, this was common knowledge. I mean, there was a joke about it on Family Guy, like 15 years ago.
Yeah. That and also Bruce Jenner, but...
I mean, Weinstein's guilty.
He assaulted
guilty.
Bruce Jenner?
No. There was a joke on Family Guy about Bruce Jenner years before Jenner came out.
David Spade said to prepare for prison that Harvey Weinstein should start thinking of himself as a woman and all the other prisoners as Harvey Weinstein.
That's great.
That is the perfect way to do it.
Well, here's hoping Harvey Weinstein dies in jail.
I got
no problem saying
here,
that.
Here.
We can only hope. We can only hope. And the next story up is, could Captain Pike be getting the Picard treatment?
I don't get this. What?
They're talking about spinning him off into one of those CBS All Access shows.
Captain Pike, why?
Because he was so great on the second season of Star Trek Discovery.
Whatever. I don't give a shit.
It was that guy your mom likes, too, Anson Mount.
My mom's dead.
No, your stepmom.
Stop.
Your stepmom.
Oh. See,
your mom still likes him.
Okay, good.
She would have liked him if she was around to see him.
She didn't like Star Trek.
My mom's dead.
Well, she is. She died in 1996.
You know what I mean. Your stepmom.
If you're communicating with her, ask her where the money is.
It's buried in your backyard.
Well, I'm not going up there to get it.
She tried to get me and Todd Lyman to dig it up, but we're trying to quit.
I'll explain why you said that. No one knows who Todd Lyman was.
The next headline, you wrote this, and I totally disagree. Pete Davidson is a freaking douchebag.
Yeah, he is.
I don't agree.
I would agree.
I watched the Netflix special last night, and if you listen to his story, Louis is a freaking douchebag.
Why?
Because he saw Pete smoking weed, and he told on him, and he got him in trouble.
So?
Because he said that he was wasting his life and all this other kind of crap. He's a narc. And then, when all this crap happened 5 years later, Pete Davidson had some schadenfreude over it. Can't say I blame him. He got called into the office over this crap. Lauren told him, I hate to have to talk to you about this, but Louis came in here and made a big deal about it.
Now, let me ask you this. The entire 70s and 80s were coke and marijuana fueled.
Exactly.
LSD fueled.
Exactly.
All the writers. Why would Lauren care now?
Because Louis made such a big deal about
it. But Lauren really didn't care, I bet.
He didn't care. And, and Pete said in his special, you can see it in Lauren's eyes, I know that everybody here did coke in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I hate to bring, I mean, you could tell that he didn't want to talk to him about it, but he straight up told him, Louis has made such a big deal out of this that I have to say something to you.
Right,
and but it's now so image driven too that, you know, they're worried about the last, you know, the next 10 years and making sure they don't destroy what they've built.
Right.
And the reason he said he wanted to leave Saturday Night Live is because when he's not there, they're making fun of him. Like they're saying, where's Pete?
Oh.
Well, and the punchline was, if you watch the Netflix special, which was really good, the punchline was that if all those women that he was diddling in front of, if they would have just pulled out a blunt, he would have been like, oh, my God, you're ruining your life. And that would have been the end of it.
I still don't think he's funny, but I accept your point.
Well, he's definitely not the douchebag in this situation. Did the Olympics go out and try to find a coronavirus guy to beat up?
What?
They're talking about canceling the Olympics.
Yeah.
So... Or maybe the Olympics went out to try and find a coronavirus guy to beat up.
Okay.
This is Jeff's.
That's what Liam Neeson did.
Oh. That's right. I went around and found other people. Black people that had coronavirus. And I was so angry because they had spread it to my white friend. I was so angry. Why can't I get another movie? Why am I typecast? He is typecast. He can't get out of that. I need to go do this thing. Revenge thing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but it's what people want to see him. This is what people want to see him do. What's he going to do?
I don't know.
Is he going to play like a kindergarten teacher?
That movie ended up bombing too.
Yeah.
Emmy Rossum's film career is in the toilet now just because of that.
She should go back to Showtime.
She should for the final season of Shameless.
And they should pay her because that's why she's...
Well, they were. They paid her the same as William H. Macy.
Well,
I was very much against the remake of that one movie. I forget what it's called, but it's the one with the what's his face? It's the Swedish movie, and then Liam Neeson remade it called Cold Pursuit.
Yeah,
and I didn't think it was going to be nearly as good as the original Swedish, and it's really good actually. If you haven't seen Cold Pursuit, it's pretty good.
Well, you know, the best Norse movie to come out is that crazy ass movie that's set in Sweden where all the cult members give everybody acid. And
oh, that Midsommar.
Did you guys see that movie? Oh my god.
I saw a Midsommar person yesterday.
You did?
I was at Petco with my dog, and I saw these kids. They were in like this Ford passenger van, but had windows, you know, like something that you'd take a bunch of, I don't know, weirdos someplace in. And the kids, they looked so odd. They had like these 1970s haircuts. They were 9 and 10. The vehicle was still running. They were sitting in the front seat. And what was most odd is that they weren't looking at their phones. They were actually talking to each other.
Really?
There must have been Mormons. That's what caught me off guard. I was thinking, so what's going on here? And then the mom comes out, and she's got two kids in tow, both with these horrible haircuts. She's wearing this long skirt and a T-shirt over top of it that says, abolition. If your state does not allow you to abolish abortion, it's not truly free. And then she gets in the car with the kids, and she looks like she wished she was aborted, which I thought was very odd. She looked like the most miserable person I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So I don't know if they were going back to their compound to get a rally going, but
they had some ammo to hoard. Is
right, exactly. I
this?
Feel like they should have started with these kids' haircuts and then just went from there.
All right. Recruit somebody from Great Clips for their cult.
Squareheads.
I'm quite sure wherever she was going, there were bombs being put together. There had to be. I know there is.
Hi, friends. It's Jared Yamamoto from the Power Pod. Season 2, Episode 9 is out on all of your favorite podcast providers.
Hey, guys, it's Nicole, and be ready for Episode 9, where we'll talk about Super Tuesday results, the latest on the coronavirus, the Diamond Dogs, and so much more on this week's episode.
Alert, alert, it's Randy O. New episodes drop every Friday, and you can hear us Saturdays and Sundays on 98.7 and AM 1340 WGAU.
Power up with the Power Pod!
Now let's find out who died on the Don Imus program here. A couple of people died. I don't know who the hell they are. Katherine Johnson was 101 years old. She's the lady that did all the math and got all the, like Tom Hanks, to the moon. She was 101 years old. I do not know if she went to Rutgers, but she was a very nice looking lady. I just want that known. She had lovely hair. She was apparently very good at math.
Did she have a perm? She must have had a perm.
I don't know. It looked natural to me. And all that. I mean, hey, she was very lovely. And that movie was so deserving of everything it got. You know, Katherine Johnson, rest in peace. I'll see you in a few minutes. She's coming on the show here. Still have not seen Kirk Douglas. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he is. But
he went to the other place.
Well, he must have, because Natalie Wood's here with a baseball bat. Taking out Spartacus. Because his knees, raping knees. Also passed away at 88 years old, author Clive Cussler, who Tim, Steph, and Jeff are all like, who? I mean, no, Jeff knew. Tim, Ira, and Stephanie didn't know. Who's Clive Cussler, Jeff Lebo?
He's an author. He writes the Dirk Pitt books.
Oh, yeah, Dirk Pitt. Who's Dirk Pitt?
He's the James Bond character that this guy wrote.
Oh, what country is Dirk Pitt from?
He's from America.
So we got our own little 007.
Jason Robards played him in like maybe 1980. Raised the Titanic.
Jason Robards. He's not here either. I don't know.
Matthew McConaughey played him.
Why wouldn't Jason Robards be there?
Sahara.
Satanist. Okay, well,
there's been a couple movies made of his books.
Rest in peace, Clive Cussler, Mr. Cussler, rest in peace. And then Tim Andrews was an idiot and saw something on Twitter and he thought, oh, Peter Tork died again. And he posted a bunch of things to the social media, thinking that it had happened. And then he's a moron, is what I thought. You know what I'm saying? I think
that's not really fake news.
Wasn't the only one. There was, for some reason, it popped, and everyone was sharing. He's like, "Oh my god, did you hear?" I'm like, "Yep, still dead."
Thanks, Bernard.
I love watching movies. You ever rent a movie that was released a while ago and you enjoy it, but there's kind of that awkwardness because you can't talk about it with anyone? Like, hey, I just saw Heat. Heat, I saw that 6 years ago. I want to talk about it now.
Yeah,
no, loser.
You know, that actually happened to me one time, if I can. Autumn and I were visiting my aunt and uncle in 2003 around Easter time. And this Jim Gaffigan special had been on for a couple of years, and that joke had been going around. So it was a pretty fresh joke. And we're sitting in my aunt and uncle's living room. My cousin looks up at me and goes, "Hey, have you ever seen Heat?" And we both burst into laughter. And he goes, "What?" Like, he was offended that we brought it up, my cousin. And so I had to explain the joke. But he still, it didn't help. He wasn't.
He still thought you were a piece of crap.
Yeah, for being dicks to him about that movie. Hey, we're going to play, this is our first radio roll call. And we're going to ask Alan and Walt to join us in this. And we're not going to do it right now, but that's coming up. So let's talk to our guests. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, guys. So what season, again, is this of The Wilder Ride?
This is season 3 that we're cranking up here. We have done Young Frankenstein season 1, Blazing Saddles season 2, and now we are starting Silver Streak.
Silver Streak. All right.
You're looking at me.
Yeah.
You're looking at me?
I'm looking at
both
of you.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm looking at both of you. What's the plot of Silver Streak?
Okay, so Silver Streak sort of borrows a little bit from North by Northwest, almost intentionally.
By the way, released in December of 1976.
Yes.
Yes.
The idea was you have a kind of a publisher, kind of a guy who doesn't like a lot of excitement, doesn't want to really get involved.
That's Gene Wilder's character.
Gene Wilder. He decides, I'm going to take the train from L.A. to Chicago rather than fly. It's a couple of days to just sit back, relax, read a couple of scripts for novels that might be worth publishing, and ends up getting embroiled in some espionage where there's a dastardly villain on the train who's up to no good. And he finds himself in the middle of it thanks to one Jill Clayburgh.
Okay.
It's kind of like a party train too, right? Like, people take this train and just party it up the whole time. And
well, depends. If you follow Ned Beatty, right, like, you can find a cuddle buddy for a couple of days on the train, sort of a single-serving friend. But in this case, there's apparently some campaigners on board because there was a convention going to be ready to go on in Chicago. So there's a bunch of like folks that are getting ready to go with their placards and signs. And Richard Kiel is actually one of the bad guys in here. We get to see Jaws. Yeah, Jaws.
They actually make a Jaws joke in it, which is
they do?
Pretty good. Yeah, they... they say, yeah, the guy with the bad dental work. You also get Gene Wilder in blackface. And, of course, most importantly, you get Richard Pryor and the first pairing of Pryor and Wilder together.
Now, I was watching the trailer, the movie trailer, which was 3 minutes long. And you see that scene where Gene Wilder is wearing the shoe polish on his body, on his face and hands. And it looks really silly. Today, I mean, that has to probably be more offensive than anything from Blazing Saddles. I would think that would make people upset.
One of the best things that Richard Pryor suggested in that scene, the way it was originally written, which if you listen, when you get to the end of the season, when we get to that minute of the podcast, it was initially going to be a white guy enter and see him putting the stuff on and make kind of a comment. And Richard Pryor goes, that's not funny. What you need is to have a brother come in there and go, what the hell? See him doing this. But if you watch, and granted, it's a different time, the 70s, this wasn't necessarily the offensive thing that we think of today. To watch Gene Wilder in the space of about 3 minutes of almost nonstop on camera transform from a dude with no rhythm, no sound, totally inept, to by the time when he's done, you totally believe that he is a jive kind of, you know, just urban.
It's like a Nutty Professor
performer.
Kind of transformation.
Yeah. It's awesome to watch. And it is so genuine. You realize Gene Wilder's not trying to do it to make fun or mock. He knows, if I can't pull this off, I'm getting caught. So it's a legitimate reason to do it. And I love that Richard Pryor suggested that you have the black guy come in the bathroom and catch him rather than the white guy, which makes it a lot funnier.
Yeah, and it's more like he's paying homage. It's not that he is making fun of at all.
That's right. And you also have a great line from Richard Pryor because they're getting ready to go through security. And he says, well, I hope we make it through. He goes, man, I ain't worried about the cops. I hope we don't run into no Muslims.
I don't get that line. Why?
Because they'd get their asses kicked.
Oh, okay.
But it is a great movie. I think it's one that has not been appreciated as much over the years. I mean, again, we've run into this with a lot of Gene Wilder movies, not streaming anywhere. I think you can rent it for $3.99 or something from Amazon Prime and some other places. But it has just not gotten the recognition that it deserves. And it is a fantastic movie end to end. It's got some of the best in Hollywood in the movie and working on the movie. And so we're really looking forward to it. We've had a couple of glitches getting started, but we're really looking forward to diving into this.
Yeah, the big thing about this, the reason we chose this one, because it is the beginning of the Buddy Cop movies. We said, not Buddy Cop, but the pairing, the buddy between Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. And very similar to Blazing Saddles, where everybody thinks Gene Wilder's in Blazing Saddles the whole time. He doesn't show up till a third of the way into the movie. Richard Pryor doesn't even show up till halfway through the movie. But he makes such an impact once he shows up, you just assume he's in there the whole time. And so that's kind of cool. We have reached out to one of Richard Pryor's children, named after him, Richard Pryor Jr. He said he's going to be in, he would love to be on the show. We're hoping to make sure we have him. There's no guarantee with Hollywood personalities, but he said he would love to be on it. If he can't make an episode, he would certainly love us to interview and we'll talk about him and his dad and growing up and maybe any memories he has about the movie. But
what does he do?
He's up in New York. He's involved in sort of the art scene.
Okay. So. I know Rain is a comedian.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Have you guys ever spoken to her?
No, we haven't. We haven't. But the whole thing about this is we like doing it because it's a movie we grew up with as kids. I remember I was we told in the pilot episode that'll be launching here pretty soon. This was the show I couldn't see in the theater, but I remember the hype when it first came out on network TV. And I swear, every single commercial that was spotlighting Silver Streak coming to CBS was always the train crashing through the lobby.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid going, oh my God, they're going to wreck a train through the lobby. And that's what drew me to the film. I had no idea what else I was going to watch. But as a kid, I was like, they're going to run a train through the lobby.
Right.
And then you start reading about behind the scenes, all the stuff we do, the research. I mean, that 30 seconds of movie was probably a third of the budget by how much it cost. Because they had to find, they went to Lockheed, used one of their old airplane hangars, and they recreated the set with a train that was almost full size to be able to create that stunt. And it was like, I think, a $500,000 stunt for 30 seconds of the movie.
Wow.
Listen to some of the other people that are in the movie Silver Streak. Of course, you have Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor, we mentioned Jill Clayburgh. Now, who's Patrick McGoohan?
He's the bad guy.
Yeah, but I mean, what do
he
we
was
know
on
him
the, from? That English spy show. What was that show called?
The Avengers?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been in a lot of things, and honestly, we went through that a few episodes back, but he's actually, what's crazy about him, he's technically an American because he was born in the United States, but at like, I don't know, age five, or not even five, like 5 days, they moved to England, and that's where he's been, so he's got the British accent. But he's your typical British guy who's got all the charm and all of the suave and all of the education, but he's, of course, the bad guy.
Okay. Now, Jill Clayburgh, you remember from a whole bunch of movies. Always the woman jilted or crying or...
She was an attractive lady.
She was an attractive lady.
And she had a kind of a weird career because she was a fantastically trained actress. She was an amazing actress. And she just never really took off. I mean, she had a lot of roles and a lot of things, but she never became that A-list, you know...
Isn't she in It's My
star.
Turn?
It's my turn to see what I can see.
Well, one of the things we looked at when we looked at her career is she was a terrible, terrible, making terrible choices on what movies to do next.
Okay.
I don't know what her the thinking was when she saw the script, but she picked the worst possible scripts
to do. A terrible
agent.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know who it was picking her movies. But if you saw North by Northwest, of course, the Hitchcock thriller set at one point, you know, with an unassuming salesperson. He's on a train and meets Jill St. John. It's very much a parallel to that, and this is an homage to an
Jill
extent.
Jill St. John.
Yes, this is an homage to an extent of the everyman kind of meeting the damsel who he's attracted to and realize, oh, wait, she's sort of also in the middle of this. But maybe more pawn than not, you just don't know until you watch the movie.
Now, It's My Turn co-stars Michael Douglas. That was a movie from night. His career was slow in getting going. That's why I support Bernie.
No, he doesn't support Bernie.
Yeah, he does.
He supports Bloomberg.
Oh, that's right. Michael Bloomberg.
Let me tell you about Michael Bloomberg.
Let me tell you about
I'm at the age where my teeth have outgrown my mouth.
That's right. Never leave home without it. No, wait. That was Carl Malden, my co-star on The Streets of San Francisco. And, well, we're not going to talk about other things I want to talk about. Trying to keep it clean, right, Steph?
Yes, please. And by keeping it clean means keeping no politics on the show.
No, we were going to talk about how I got...
Keeping it clean, we can talk about Scatman Crothers, who's in Silver Streak.
Well, let me finish talking about Jill Clayburgh, who was in I'm Dancing as Fast as I Can. She was a drug addict in that. And that was the last big movie where she was the star. Really, because you go through the rest of the 80s, and that's pretty much it. So
yeah, and she did have a couple of kids, and she was very involved in their lives. They're both actors now. And then she got sick.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
She died of cancer.
That's right. Yeah. So, Ned Beatty, he you know, before this, really known best for being thrown over a log by a hillbilly.
Squealing. Yes.
But, you know, his best role, and I do talk a little bit about this on the show, he played one of the detectives on Homicide: Life on the Street.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And again, another show you can't find anywhere. The NBC app is not streaming it for some stupid reason. But he was so good in that. And we reached out to his agent, and they said, you know, he has completely retired. He's 91 or 92.
Yeah.
Would love to come and do an interview or two, but he promised his family. He was gone more than he was home in the years that he was working, and he has completely retired and won't give an interview, but which I hated because I would have loved to have talked to him about Deliverance.
You're not allowed to talk to him about that.
I know.
I've heard that. He didn't like to talk
like
about
talking
it.
About it. No,
would sure you?
I would love to talk to him. I felt like one of his best roles that he ever played was Dan's dad on Roseanne.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
He had some very...
It was very tender stuff.
Yeah.
They just killed him off on the Connors.
They did?
He didn't appear, but they killed off his character.
Oh. Mm.
But he's a fantastic actor, and he is amazing in this movie. He's perfect for the role.
Richard Keel, we've already mentioned. Clifton James was the sheriff in Silver Streak. You've seen him. He was a character actor.
He was like a cop in everything.
Yeah.
James Bond movies and stuff.
There's a fun scene where Gene Wilder takes the gun away from him.
He plays normally, Sheriff Pepper in the James Bond movies Louisiana.
Yes. Ray Walston.
I don't know Ray Walston from that name.
My favorite Martian.
Yeah, my favorite.
Oh, okay.
And Mr. Hand. And Mr. Hand.
Yeah. Just what the hell you think you're doing, Spicoli?
Yeah. Such a great... He was an amazing character actor.
Yes, he was.
That role in Fast Times, I think, is my favorite role of his. Just
he should have gotten an Oscar for
about
that.
Cuban having some food.
You're right, Mr. Spicoli.
When he shows up at Spicoli's house and talks about, now we're on my time, your time.
I didn't watch Lost in Space that much because he gave me the creeps.
He was weird in that.
He creeped me out.
He was, yeah.
Wait, who did he play in Lost in Space?
No.
He wasn't in Lost in Space.
No, he wasn't.
No, so he looks like
thinking
him
about this
Lost
guy.
That's not the same guy.
No, Billy Mummy, take your clothes off.
Ew.
That creepy doctor guy.
Yeah.
Who was that? Who was that guy?
Jeff, look that up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fred Willard is in this movie. I don't know. He must not have a big role because he wasn't a huge
He's
star.
In about the last 20 minutes. He is the...
Jonathan Harris. He does look exactly like...
Yeah.
They do look a lot alike. But Fred Willard plays the guy at the railroad depot who's refusing to shut the train down and, you know, put him on a different track.
Okay.
On a side note, now it's not guaranteed, but we have reached out, and Fred Willard is also supposedly considering coming on an episode or two.
Oh, my God. Wow. That would be so cool.
He'd be a fun interview.
I can't imagine. God, he's literally one of the funniest people that has ever lived, ever.
He is.
He has such great comedic timing, and he does the deadpan... I mean, like nobody.
And he is fearless. He will do anything funny.
Yeah, he really will.
Now, do you guys think the success, was the movie a success? Was it a box office hit?
Yeah, it made a ton of money.
Do you think that is how we ended up getting Super Train on TV, the five-episode or four- or five-episode long season before it was canceled?
Probably. I mean, they had a Blazing Saddles season set to go with recast characters after the movie. Louis Gossett Jr. was going to play Bart.
Wow.
And that failed miserably after a pilot. So, yeah, I don't imagine a Hollywood exec not going and seeing a hit movie in the 70s going, you know how we can do now? We can make a TV show out of this. So, yeah, I don't doubt it.
Well, it was the most expensive television show ever aired at the time in the United States, 1979. I remember all the hype leading up to it. It was like the Love Boat on a train.
Sorry, Jeff.
It had a $5.5 million budget, and it made $51 million domestically.
Wow. Yeah, I would say that one banked it.
Hell yeah.
If you were going to rank movies on a train,
yeah,
where would you rank Silver Streak? And out of like a top 10 train movie thing here.
Oh my gosh.
Better than Snowpiercer.
Bite your tongue. Snowpiercer's awesome.
Is it better than Train to Busan?
I'd put it in the top five.
Yeah.
I mean, Midnight Run is really good. North by Northwest has moments on a train. It's not the whole movie on a train. Right. Hitchcock, how do you beat that? But
Murder
on the Orient Express the whole time. The old one, not the remake. The remake was dumb. I would say probably in the top five. Easy.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I would too. I'm just trying to rack my brain for other train movies.
What about Train to Busan? That's one of the best zombie movies I've ever seen, ever. And it's like they're fighting all the way to get to the... Have you ever seen Train to Busan?
Uh-uh.
It'll blow your mind.
I've seen Abe Lincoln's Zombie Killer, where he's fighting the zombies on the train.
Train to Busan, it's all... It's Korean,
mm-hmm.
So it's all in subtitles. and it is so intense, like you're coming out of your skin intense, because they're trapped in this train, and like they'll seal one part of it off, and then they get to the next part, and then the people get infected in that one, and they got to get out of that one. Yeah, it's, and then they get off at the platform, and there's, anyway.
How about Bridge Over the River Kwai?
This is the zombie version of Snowpiercer.
Yeah,
basically, yes.
Yeah. And that also, Jun Bong, what's his name? The director for that is the one who just did Parasite. What's his name? Jun Bong.
Never saw it. Let me tell you. Look, what happened to Gone with the Wind?
But I think he's the guy. He did Snowpiercer, and he's Korean. So I'm assuming that there was that similarity of the using the train as the sort of the analogy of society. That you've got the back cars with the dregs of society. The closer to the engine, the more falutin and highfalutin you become.
And I would say, I'm telling you, even if you're not a zombie, you don't care about zombies. You're over zombies. It really doesn't matter. As far as like an action, I'm gonna climb up out of my body. On the edge of your seat, like, oh, I'm about to tear the couch cushions.
My two favorite train movies are Bridge on the River Kwai, or Bridge Over the River Kwai, and Running a Train on Chasey Lane. Running a Train on Chasey Lane.
I have not seen the second one, but the first one.
First one's good. Yeah, the second one is too many plot holes.
What about the Bridges of Madison County?
That one. I'll have to say the second one. I'm not familiar with that particular one, but I am familiar with her body of work.
Yeah. Chasey Lane. Whatever happened to her?
Yeah, I don't know.
So Jeff, you would know.
Huh? Too much Peter North.
What about the taking of Pelham 133?
Holy moly, I got Tim to break.
That is a good one, though. Both of them are good.
The remake's even good.
Yeah, the remake was good. The first one's superb.
Was that a John Carpenter, the original?
Walter Matthau.
Was the original John Carpenter, the taking of Pelham 180? Or was that something else I'm thinking of? One of John Carpenter's, one of his first movies. Maybe it's something else I'm thinking of. But
Joseph Sargent directed this.
All right.
And what was the
Joey
one with
Sargent
the,
from Mainsburg?
Yep.
What was the one with Jake Gyllenhaal? That one was pretty good.
What is that one?
That's a pretty good movie. It's a pretty good, like, sci-fi, odd, weird movie.
What is that train movie? What about that one where Christina Ricci's wearing the ice storm? There's a train in that.
Oh, yeah. What about Snakes on a Train?
Throw Mama from the Train. That's a good one.
Yeah,
Throw Mama from the Train. Yes, that's
one. You don't have any friends. You don't have any friends.
Is that what she says, her cousin?
Babe, you're in the yard before he starts to stink up the house. You don't have any friends.
How about The Great Train Robbery?
Good movie.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Yes.
The night was moist.
No, that's the tagline for Running a Train on Chasey Lane.
Oh, I've got a couple I didn't even think about. Polar Express.
Uh-huh.
That's a good holiday favorite. And the really dumb one that was sort of like Speed, but it was unstoppable. It was the train that couldn't stop.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was called the bus that wouldn't slow down. What was that? What's the line that Homer says?
I don't remember.
There's a lot of speed, and I think it was called the bus that wouldn't slow down.
Oh, wait. What was the one with Denzel? That was a good one.
Taking of Pelham.
Was that the Taking of Pelham?
The remake one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That was the remake. Okay.
And then Young Frankenstein had a significant scene on a train.
Yeah, but Denzel Washington was also in Unstoppable.
Unstoppable, that's the one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just said that.
I'm so sorry.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
There's so many things going
on. Oh, yeah, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Well, and then how about the...
What is that, a train movie by itself?
Oh, it has a train
in the title.
That movie is everything. Well, and there was some horrible movie with the guy who is... he's the tall white guy that does... You know, he acts like he's a black belt and everything.
Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal did some train movie.
Was it a sequel to the boat movie?
Yes. I don't know if it was a sequel, but it was similar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and The Commuter.
Yeah.
That's a Liam Neeson.
I think they burned the copies of that.
I got to stop.
Yeah, Liam Neeson.
Under Siege 2, Dark Territory?
I think that was it. Yeah.
Oh, God, Dark Trains Territory.
Trains in Space.
I think that was only shown in buses in the Philippines.
Well, if we missed your favorite train movie, hit us up on social media. That would be at @radio_labyrinth or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/radiolabyrinth. Yeah. So tell us if we've
Hashtag great train movies.
Yeah, if we haven't, you know, hit your favorite train movie or movie with the we're totally leaving one out. Risky Business.
You like choo-choos?
Yeah. I figured out that Steven Seagal was Under Siege 2.
That's right. The first one was on a boat. The second one was on a train.
Yeah, Dark Territory.
What a terrible actor that guy is.
And then, of course, Blazing Saddles was set around the construction of the railroad.
Right.
Oh, and Back to the Future.
Oh, no. Three. Yep. Back to the Future 3.
Okay, name a movie that a train hasn't been.
I think we're taking it too far. Just because it was a railroad crossing doesn't make it a railroad. Apocalypto. There wasn't one in Hamlet.
As far as you know.
All right, so when does the new season of The Wilder Ride start?
Soon.
Very soon. Soon is the answer.
And where can people find it to sign up and all your social media and everything? We're not throwing you out, by the way. But
okay, good. That's a relief. I don't want to go home. So we're the Wilder Ride everywhere. You can find us all over the social media and Apple Podcasts and everywhere else. Also on Facebook, we have facebook.com/thewilderride. And you want to follow us there and then join the listeners group. And we have a ton of stuff there. We've just had a little delay. My mom has been sick, so I've been kind of dealing with that.
Sorry.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. It's been a long few years, but she's doing better now. We've got her in a good situation.
Good.
So we hopefully can get back on track and start knocking some episodes out.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, thank you guys for coming in and talking about the Wilder Ride. And, of course, everybody our age, probably and older, loves Gene Wilder. He's in so many movies, especially, I mean, for us, I guess the main movie for us is, of course, Willy Wonka.
Yeah, which, by the way, very few movies. It is Willy Wonka.
Yeah, that's
him.
Right.
There are very few Gene Wilder movies that are available to stream everywhere, like you said, unless you want to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
We just, on the way down, Walt and I were talking, if you didn't check it out, Netflix is streaming Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory right
awesome.
Now.
Awesome. Can't wait till you get to The Woman in Red.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. I love that movie.
It is a good movie.
Angry Gilda Radner the whole time. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
And who didn't like Kelly LeBrock, speaking of Steven Seagal? You know they were an item until he went nuts.
That was not a long walk.
No, not.
He tried to jackknife kick her in the mouth or something.
I'm just going to come on and talk about the Christa Berg soundtrack.
What?
Christa Berg.
Oh, the lady in red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This dancing with me.
The FCC says tonight it is resuming the Paola hearings of 1964. The commission says it's received new information and complaints that some people in broadcasting have taken under-the-table payments to get a record on the air or a product mentioned on the air.
Hey, Reggie Jackson, you got a mean swing, but how's your love life?
Let's talk about my home run.
Well, Reggie.
My slugging.
Reggie.
My RBI.
Let's talk about your love life.
Nothing to talk about.
Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza in Euro, 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a longtime local favorite, serving the best pizzas, euros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a relaxed, casual setting since 1983.
Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/ATL Pizza. Interact with other diners, check out the menu, and even start your order. Or AtlantaPizzaEuro.com.
It's time for American Top 40. American Top 40, the 80s, with your host, Casey Kasem. We're going to talk about the biggest tits of 1984. On Sunday, March 1st, 2020. I never thought I'd live this long, but Jeannie has my head in a jar. She's been jabbing me with electrodes, and I can talk about all those great hits from the 1980s.
Marky Post?
Those were some of the best hits of the 1980s. Marky Post, we're going to start it off with number 5 as we count them down, because Alan said we need to count them down because he's a radio professional, unlike me, who's only done this for 70 years. You know, Tim Andrews met me one time in Seattle at an ABC radio event. And guess what? My hair was dyed and the black stuff was drubbing down my neck because it was melty. I'm trying to find the list of here we go. Starting at number 5, it's Phil Collins and Against All Odds. You remember the movie this is from?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Against All Odds.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Speaking of biggest tits, Rachel Ward looked really good in this movie.
You know, I actually saw this movie thanks to the video.
Me too.
I love the video so much. I'm like, this has got to be a great movie.
I took Jeannie to see it. She fell asleep. It was too slow. She didn't like Jeff Bridges or James Woods, but that was okay. She's a big Alex Karras fan. Every day, we had to watch that show he was on with the little black boy. I think his name was Webster. That's Phil Collins, and Against All Odds. Number four, a really big tit from Tina Turner. What's Love Got to Do with It? Peaked at number one and stayed there for weeks as she walked along the beginning of the video, showed the Twin Towers, speaking of big tits. Tina Turner had a bunch of hits in the 1980s, almost thrown away and forgotten from the 1970s and her horrible husband Ike. What's Love Got to Do with It? Number four. You guys like Tina Turner?
Oh, yeah.
What about that movie she was in with Mel Gibson?
Mad Max 3, Beyond Thunderdome.
Yes, what did you think of that?
Okay, I love the Mad Max franchise, but if you had to rank all four of them, this would be number seven.
Number seven. Speaking of number seven, here's number three. Van Halen, with a little synth riff that Eddie came up with in 1979 that the remaining members of the band all said, no, we're not a synth band. We're a rock band. Eddie, what's your friggin' problem? But then they gave it to David Lee Roth, who mumbled a bunch of shit into a microphone and came up with the lyrics to Jump. From the classic album 1984, here's Van Halen. I know what got him down. Getting fired from the band got him down. Well, that's okay, because he put out two solo albums that were humongous hits. But then guess what? He ended up being an EMT in New York City. Then a DJ, filling in for Howard Stern after Howard Stern went to Sirius Radio. What a genius decision radio people make, right?
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, they're back on tour, and you can probably see them in a county fair near you. This song always got me horny as hell in the 1980s. Here's a movie that Prince was in where he did the soundtrack called Purple Rain. And this is the song that took him to the top of the charts. Although not this week, because he's at number three or two. I don't know. I'm completely lost and don't know why I'm doing this. I don't sound like Casey Kasem. And I'm just talking over hits from the 1980s. Here's Prince, who's also dead. Oh, we didn't get to hear the screaming. Well, next time we'll do the goddamn death dedication. At number one, Paul McCartney and his best friend Michael Jackson recorded an album for Paul's album The Pipes of Peace, and the video shows them going around ripping people off. There's Michael singing. Michael, by the way, still fully black in this video.
Where do you think they got Activator back then, Casey?
Probably at Sears. That's where I got all my activators, at Sears. Hey, what do you call a dog with wings? Linda McCartney. And that'll do it for Casey's Biggest Hits.
I need to work on that. It was a train wreck. Speaking of trains, I didn't have that prepped, but I had all the notes.
You know, we could do an episode on every single one of those songs.
Yes. Those are all great songs.
They're all great. And David Lee Roth now, his voice is shot.
Yeah.
Wow. By the way, you know, the Van Halen was like the headliner at Music Midtown probably 4 years ago. I think.
I know. That was a great Music Midtown. Billy Idol.
It was a great Elton Music John. Midtown until Van Halen took the stage.
I thought they did great.
Everybody in the band was playing like the regular song as you hear it on the album.
Oh, and he's like,
and David Lee Roth was in lounge mode.
Yep.
You know, so he was like, jump. Hey, jump.
Might as well jump.
I'm like, what are you doing?
He's doing
the music isn't even matching you.
He's doing the Richard Cheese.
It was a cheesy lounge act. It was ridiculous. I mean, we waited around. I had my daughters there. They were still not old enough to drive, so I had to go down as the dad. Mm-hmm. Billy Idol tore it up. There was so many good acts. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Van Halen, and it was the letdown of the night for me.
That's how I felt that when I saw Def Leppard at Music Midtown like 12 or 13 years ago.
God, that wasn't more than 12 or 13. That was 2004.
It might have been 14 years. Yeah.
Because that was the last one I did for 96 Rock.
I was having such a great time, mm-hmm. and I couldn't wait to see them. I mean, I worshipped Joe Elliott when I was a teenager. I thought he was so hot. And he comes out, and he looks like a soccer mom.
He had the frosted tips and these big rose-colored sunglasses.
Wouldn't let him pour a little sugar on you?
No, it was terrible. But then Public Enemy came out, and they crushed it. It was like 1984 all over again. Yeah.
How low can you go? Death Row, let a brother know.
Well, every time I hear that one of my favorite bands is going back out, I'm like, oh, yeah. This is not going to be good.
Unless you're like America, a band like that, because that music, you don't have to be young to still do that well, but any kind of metal band, any kind of, mostly rap bands, I mean, rap groups too, you have to, you age out.
You do?
Well, live shows, I think you do. I think you age out.
I'm still going to see Fish until I'm dead. Although I think I have an idea that this summer all the tours are going to get canceled.
Are you going to go see Rolling Stones again?
Yeah, I am.
I'm at the point in my life where
you're not.
This is probably the last chance to see the Rolling Stones if you're ever gonna.
True, but I'm at the point where I can't afford a $500-$600 right. ticket to go to the
no
concert.
Way.
So I go see all like the top ranked cover or tribute bands where they dress and act right. and look, and I'm like, hey, it's like the same experience, but I can be 12 feet away from the lead singer.
Right. And guess what? You're not going to. Here's our new one. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go take a shit.
I feel like my last chance to see the Rolling Stones when they were good would be like on the Steel Wheels tour. So I've already missed my chance.
We had tickets to see that in Syracuse. They're gonna play the Carrier Dome, and that was '89. My dad and stepmom was gonna. They were gonna take me and my brother, and they moved it to some other.
Your stepmom's still alive, by the way. Just
I know. She was, yes, because I got them tickets to see the Rolling Stones at Turner Field. Opening act was No Doubt.
Oh, okay.
So we got there late, missed No Doubt, which was fine.
This was fine, yeah.
Got right in and saw the Stones. So, yay.
Well, and I remember in '89, people calling it the Steel Wheelchairs.
Yeah, I know.
In '89.
And that's 31 years ago. They were old then, they're older now.
I saw the Aerosmith on their Pump tour in '89, and they were opened up for by Skid Row, who was the young whatever. They were horrible. Skid Row was absolutely horrible. And then Aerosmith came out, and they were perfection. I mean, there was not. It was like you were listening to the tape.
Yeah, they're an awesome band. I love Aerosmith. I've seen them live a bunch of times. Hey, we talk about dogs an awful lot on this show, but we don't talk about cats very often. Well, there is a cat rescue and adoption agency founded by Christy Greico over 6 years ago. And the name of that organization is right in front of me, and I need to read it. It's called All About Cats Roswell. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram at All About Cats Roswell. They are a 100% volunteer-run 501c3 nonprofit organization, and their Happy Tales event is going to be coming up very, 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 very soon. It's called Whiskers and Wine. It is the second annual fundraiser and will be held at Uman Roswell, Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North, which I assume is a church, located at 11420 Crabapple Road in Roswell. It takes place on Saturday, April 25th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It is a fun and festive wine social featuring a silent auction, raffle, appetizers, and, of course, plenty of wine to wet your whiskers. This year, they will have a live musical entertainment and Beth Peters, a pet psychic, who will be available for reading for an additional fee. So if you...
I want to talk to my Walter.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think you should go.
Yeah.
Tickets for the event are $30 in advance and include one ticket for a wine, beverage, or raffle entry. Tickets available at the door for $35. Go to Brown Paper Tickets to buy yours. It's whiskersandwine2020.brownpapertickets.com or just search for Whiskers and Wine 2020 in Google Bing and DuckDuckGo. We will also put a link in the description of the show today. That's kind
of
cool. I hope Sherman makes
heard,
it because I'd like to take Shaman. You have?
Yeah, I've heard
Shaman.
Of him.
I'd like to take Sherman to this, but he's not really good at going to things.
Oh, I was
going
to say you should take Sherman to the Cat Cafe.
What's the Cat Cafe?
It's a cafe where you can have coffee mm-hmm. and hang out with cats.
There's a place like that for dogs in, I think it's Inman Park.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go there and you let your dogs run around and you drink good coffee.
Well, these cats are for like adoption.
Oh, can take your own cat there though?
Well, I don't think so. Because
no, you just go there and drink coffee and hang out with cats.
Oh,
basically,
I'm down
yeah.
with that. Where is this place again?
Well, one's in Decatur.
Uh-huh.
Decatur?
Yeah, there's one in Decatur where they're like for adoption, and there's one in Lawrenceville where they're not really for adoption. They're like the people's cats,
mm-hmm.
and they're just kind of hanging out in a room, and you can go
in there.
So
they all belong to The Rock?
I think so, yeah. I think, well, pretty much the main thing is that you're going to have cat hair in your coffee, but that's kind of the whole experience.
I love that song. Cat hair in my coffee.
I'm Joe Namath, and this is the new Double Mac by Hamilton Beach. It makes two burgers in 60 seconds and flips its grid to make great sandwiches, too.
My eyes are green, my hair is auburn, and my dress is vivid red.
Hey, guys, here's another one of Radio Labyrinth's awesome sponsors, Bailey Tree Care LLC in Gainesville, Georgia. You can contact Nick Bailey at 770-530-9421 or Jason Chappell at 404-234-2599. Bailey Tree Care. They are Northeast Georgia's premier choice for high-quality tree care services at affordable prices. Their tree care experts bring an excellent safety record and over 10 years of experience in the industry. Bailey Tree Care specializes in residential products and offers free estimates for all your tree service needs. Residential tree care, certified arborists and tree climber, tree trimming and pruning, tree removal, stump grinding and removal, shrub trimming, pruning, underbrush clearing, and mulch and firewood sale. Safety, professionalism, and affordability. Call them today to discuss your tree care need. That's Bailey Tree Care LLC. All right, you guys ready to play a little radio roll call? It's a brand new podcast game show that was kind of created by a guy named Roby. Mealy.
I'm going to go ahead and tap out on this.
You're going to play because the ones that are listed on here. You're going to play.
Okay.
All of you are going to play.
This is hard.
It is not hard. I made it easy.
You'll beat me.
All right.
Whatever.
Radio Roll Call is a game where we give you four character names that an actor or an actress has played in various films throughout their career. And you have to guess who the actor is based simply off of those names. And once you get it, remember that I came up with a new rule for this. Keep it connected. So the person who is named next is connected in some way with the previous actor or actress. Now, this one is going to start off with... Now, just by the way, if you know, shout it out. Shout it out if you know it. The first name is Bugging, narrator, Gideon Giardello. Bugging, narrator, Gideon Giardello. Any guesses?
Not a guess.
Any guesses?
Clint Eastwood.
Wrong. Okay, you guys ready for a hint then?
Yeah.
If by hint you mean the title or the actor?
Right, sure. Right.
No.
Just tell me the answer.
Here's your hint. Moff Fring.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Jeff gets a point. Now, keep in mind, we keep it connected. The hints are very easy. Now, do you get the gist?
Why is it?
Oh, I figured out the rules. Those weren't difficult.
Okay.
Okay. The fact that I had a blank look on my face had to do with the fact that I had no idea what you were talking
about. Right. And why was it Moth Fring?
Because he's in the last Star Wars. Oh, no, he's in Mandalorian as a moth. Mm-hmm. He's a moth, which is a regional general or
Dark Saber.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't know that. I knew he was in Mandalorian, but I didn't know he was a moth. This is like some super nerd shit.
Number two.
Star Wars Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah.
Come on. Number two.
Get it together.
David Green Gibby Dittmeyer. Again, David Green Gibby Dittmeyer. Keep it connected. David Green Gibby Dittmeyer. Dittmeyer.
Cranston.
No. Here's a hint. St. Hubbins.
Michael McKean.
Okay, Jeff got another one.
Nice.
That's right. Michael McKean. All right, the next one. Number three, Rhonda Bobby Sue Callahan. Rhonda Bobby Sue Callahan. Callahan being the one that you should be able to get this from. Also, Rhonda. And also remember that it is connected.
Oh, I can't remember her name. Is it the Cagney and Lacey girl?
No.
Nope, never mind.
You ready for your hint?
Yeah.
Banged Mahoney's roommate.
Is it the girl from Tommy Boy?
Kim Cattrall?
Close. Linda Easterbrook.
Of course.
Close.
How did we not get that?
Who?
Linda Easterbrook from the big titted lady from...
Oh, my God.
Police Academy.
This is some obscure garbage.
This is easy. All right. Here's the last one. Here's the last one. Emmy Jones Valeris Honeywell. Emmy Jones Valeris Honeywell.
Well, let me connect Linda Easterbrook to what she would be connected to, because I have her. It's just such a litany.
Well, think of the one movie
films
that she's famous for.
Joan Van Ark.
No, not Joan Van Ark. Not even close. What a good guess. Jeff?
I don't know.
Was it Kim Cattrall?
Yes.
Okay. I just took your answer from last question.
The hint was going to be
Bravo,
Lassie.
Bravo, Alan.
The hint was Lassie.
No, but wasn't she? That was her role in Star Trek, right? Valeris?
Yeah, she was Lieutenant Valeris.
Yeah, she played Valeris. Yeah.
And Honeywell is also, she was Lassie Honeywell from Porky's. And she was also one of the names comes from Sixth Sense. Why you hate this game?
It makes me angry.
Give me this dirty look.
No, it's making me angry.
Why does it make you angry?
I don't know, because I feel like even if you're gonna play this game, can we like put some characters in there that people would actually freaking know?
Like
I don't Linda Easterbrook. Seriously?
I don't know.
I wrote a few.
Yeah, but everybody could look at them. So.
Right, but Walt and Alan couldn't.
No, but you guys could, and that's not what it's for. So we'll save those for another time.
throw out that first one that I asked them. See if they get it.
I'll throw it out there, but the reason I change them is because I'm asking you guys, and you already knew them. All right, so the first one is George Frederick Eugene Bloom.
Oh, Gene Wilder.
Yeah, of course.
Laszlo Wizard Frank Dundee. Now, keep in mind, I don't have the answers in front of me, so I don't know Laszlo Wizard Frank Dundee. I would think it's Crocodile Dundee, but I don't know his real name.
No.
Give us a hint.
From Johnny Dangerously, he's the Dundee.
Johnny Dangerously.
Joe Piscopo?
Michael Keaton?
No.
Alan Hale Jr.?
No.
What's his face?
Yeah, from.
Peter
Boyle.
Peter
Boyle.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce, Zeke, Jack, Kelly.
Connected still, right?
Yeah.
Or not? Oh, well, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay, so this is like, yeah, you're not like, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Now we're seeing the connection with these actual real named actors that everybody should know.
Instead of some obscure nerd shit.
Linda Easterbrook, you don't know who that is?
Oh, my God.
She had huge fucking tits.
But that doesn't make her a good actress.
She was the Lenny and Squiggy when they went out west, remember?
Yeah, oh, yeah, okay.
She was their goofy neighbor that lived next door to Laverne and Shirley.
Can we just keep in mind that when I was a kid, I didn't rate everybody by their tits?
I didn't either.
What?
That now
I didn't even
adult.
Know Marky Post had big tits until my husband told me.
Oh,
I didn't even realize
Pickles?
That. His name is Pickle.
Here's the last one. Elaine Vivian Aida Newton. Elaine Vivian Aida Newton. Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Nope.
And it's connected to the last answer, which was
Michael Keaton,
right?
Elaine Vivian Aida Newton. Don't know.
It's Mary Lou Hanner.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
That would make sense.
Who also had a nice rack.
Stop it.
All right, what everybody watched this week.
But you get the gist of the game. So it's a fun little game to play.
I like Jeff's version better.
Yeah.
Why? Because it didn't have Linda Easterbrook in it?
Because it had actors that I think everyone would know.
Right. Oh, no one knew Giancarlo. Okay, Giancarlo Stanton is on the top, one of the returning top shows. And Michael McKean was also on that show. And then Linda Easterbrook is tied to Michael Keaton. Not Michael McKean. Michael McKean. All right. Michael everybody's McKean. Mad at me, so let's just talk about what we watched. I'll go first because I probably watched the least. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Still funny as fuck. That last episode was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, where she was going to kill Jeff, where he thought.
Yeah. That was hilarious with the heart and the
Fred
doctor.
Armisen.
Yeah, Fred Armisen. Oh, the
dog ate his handicap placard.
How much do you love that they've been having Vince Vaughn on there?
I love it.
He's so funny, him and Larry together. Yep. I could watch the two of them in anything together.
And, I mean, of course, he's no real Funkhauser, but he's certainly good.
He's very funny, though. He adds another element to the show.
Yeah.
Better Call Saul, what do you guys think about that so far?
I'm into it.
Yep.
Me too, my gosh.
I love it.
The thing I like about it is that the first episode had... it was the first one where it had Robert Forster in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was his... They dedicated the show to him.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm really starting to feel bad for Rhea Seehorn.
Yeah.
You think she's going to die?
I don't know if she's going to die. She may leave, but...
I think Rita, she's going to die.
Yeah, somehow she's going to die. But,
you know, she acts like she's not a scammer, but she's a scammer.
She doesn't want to be a scammer.
Right, yeah, but she is.
She has some sort of moral compass.
Yeah, but it's in her blood to be a scammer.
But man, he is.
He saw a lot of stuff in the black and white jeans.
Yeah,
too.
My God, that first one?
Yeah.
There wasn't one in the episode, too.
No.
That was cool as hell.
Yeah,
well, I was telling Alan on the way down here, that's an Easter egg that's going to pay off like next season.
Yeah.
50% off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't call again because, all right, you changed your mind. Oh, how about it when Mike lost it on his granddaughter?
Oh, right.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no.
He's got so much.
You're putting it on wrong.
He's got so much about his son.
But was he doing that to try and create a rift between him and his son's ex-wife? Or
no, she was upsetting him by talking about his son.
Oh, okay.
Because she doesn't know how he really died or what he really did. And he was just getting upset, so he yelled at her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has so much unresolved guilt from his son dying.
Slow Burn is awesome. I love that show. Tonight,
isn't it good?
Yeah, tonight will be the third episode. Yeah. But the first two were great.
Yeah.
Roger Stone is even tolerable in it.
Yeah, I mean, I like seeing these old pictures of them when they were young and just how you see how they've all risen up through this and hung in here all this time.
Well, I like how Roger Stone's saying, I go in and G. Gordon Liddy's looking at me and he goes, get a haircut. He's like, okay.
That whole first episode with Margaret Mitchell?
No idea. Not Margaret, Martha.
Martha Mitchell is...
Margaret Mitchell.
Yes. Martha Mitchell. Yeah.
I've made the mistake on the radio even, but Martha, I had no idea that she was there and that she was so crazy. But, you know, 40, 50 years from now, we'll be talking about all the people who were around, the most recent.
No, they still do this, though.
Yeah.
You know, they paint... Anytime you come out with the truth about something...
They make you nuts.
If they have enough money and power, they can just make you look crazy.
Right.
That's never changed.
Started The Expanse. Oh, I'm caught up on The Sinner, which is crazy weird this season.
Crazy weird.
I don't know why. I mean, the premise is that his character, if you're not familiar with The Sinner, this is the third season. It's Bill Pullman plays this older cop. And for some reason, he's following this guy around. It's a ridiculous plot because no cop would do that.
No, it's kind of,
I'm going to finish it, but it's not as good as the first two seasons.
It started out strong, and now it's starting to lose me.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm going to keep watching it.
The Outsiders, still good. I'm waiting for that to finish up.
There's only two left.
Yeah. Gilbert's 300th show, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, was really good. It's The Crowd and Frank Santopadre interviewing him. He does a lot of obscure bits and stuff from his old stand-up and impressions. Him doing Gavin McLeod, I've never heard him do, but it's fantastic. The Propaganda Report, which I already talked about. I've been listening to that. The Last Degree of Kevin Bacon, which is going to be one of her staff picks and that you turned us on to. That podcast, which is available only on Spotify, is fantastic.
Is it not hilarious?
He doesn't take himself seriously. It's got Kira Sedgwick in it, his wife.
She with her Clazer.
Yeah. who are the other characters in it?
What's his face? Matt Walsh is the main.
He plays the guy that's character. Obsessed with him and wants to kill him.
The premise is Matt Walsh, he went out for Footloose in the 80s and he had the white tank top on, and then Kevin Bacon saw him in this tank top and then he auditioned in it and he got the role. And so this guy, flash forward years later, that Kevin Bacon has stole his life and his career. He's in this piece of crap job. So his whole thing, and his wife is garbage. She's sleeping with her son, with his son. This whole thing. Yeah, so he decides he's going to kill Kevin Bacon. That's why it's The Last Degree of Kevin Bacon. Meanwhile, we flash over to Kevin Bacon, and it's the real Kevin Bacon, how he has no friends.
He's obsessed with himself and all of his movie props. But he doesn't have friends.
No, he has no friends at all. So he's headed out to California to kill Kevin Bacon, and we'll just leave it at that.
And you have...
so funny.
He's obsessed with making this movie called Frog and Toad, but you have no idea what it's about.
Are they friends?
Yes.
Frog and Toad are friends?
Yes. Yeah.
One of the best things, though, I will say this, is one of the best parts is when he goes to his agent's office to pitch this Frog and Toad thing because he wants to be in a buddy comedy. He's like, I want to be in something, you know, whatever. And she goes, I'm sorry, Kevin. Just nobody really sees you as a friend.
Yeah.
And then you hear like this, you hear this big thud on the table. She said, These are the scripts for you as a pedophile or a loner.
Okay, all right. Well, here's the tank top from that movie. Here. Oh, and Terry Gross talking to him about his penis. He does a fake thing like Terry Gross.
Like a Fresh Air?
It's Fresh Air.
So good.
You showed your genitals in Wild...
Wild Things. Yeah, that's the other running joke.
We're
going to
need
thing.
A bigger towel.
Is that, is that Wild Things in this universe, Wild Things is celebrated as one of the greatest films of all time. By everyone.
You did a threesome.
Got that right.
Yeah. So, so that's an amazing. My staff pick is Amazing Stories returns again to Hulu. I guess, is this the first or second reboot of Amazing Stories, Jeff, that you know of?
Was the Spielberg one reboot of?
No. This is the first reboot.
This is the first reboot of Amazing Stories, Steven Spielberg's anthology, Twilight Zone type series, which came out a long time ago in the 80s. It was the first show to use computer animated intros.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, we've come a long way. But it returns. It's on Hulu. And it starts on March 6th.
Do you think it'll be, since it's on Hulu, can they show anything? Is it going to still be like a PG type thing like Amazing Stories was?
Amazing Stories was really for us, our generation.
But it was family oriented.
Yeah, because it was on at 7 o'clock.
It was 8 o'clock. Well, when I grew up in Detroit, it was the 8 o'clock. It was like the start of prime time.
That's Central.
No, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, we're on
Detroit's
the same time
Eastern.
Zone.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
That's nuts.
Detroit's Eastern?
Yeah.
I thought it was on at 7 because it was on ABC.
No, it was NBC.
NBC. So, yeah, you're right. It would have been 8.
And so you grew up in Detroit?
Yeah.
Do you remember Tidbits? They used to come on early in the morning. It was like, it was that little redheaded guy, and he would do a science experiment, and then he would show you Looney Tunes.
I don't remember that. Okay. No, but we'll do our own show.
Okay. Can you do my picks? Okay, so.
He's like, move along.
No.
Most of my picks or most of my things I watch were the same as you. McMillions, every episode.
Yeah, so good.
Every
I haven't
week.
Started that yet. So.
Oh, you're going to.
Tim, you got to.
Oh, I know. It's in my list. We're
going to
watch it.
McMillions is so good if you're not watching it. Have you guys watched McMillions yet?
Tell me what this is.
This is about the McDonald's scam.
Okay, I'll talk to you.
Monopoly
scam. It's on
scam.
HBO. Yeah, it's excellent. The Outsider, blah, blah, blah. Please listen to the Catch and Kill podcast. I don't care what you think of Ronan Farrow. You can't wait to listen to the next episode. I finished the whole thing.
Okay.
But each one is even better than the last. Narcos Mexico season 2, ever since Ira was like, yeah, they made no fanfare about it whatsoever. They just dropped it. It's really good. I'm almost done. I'm already on episode 9 of it. It's been a really good season. And
how did our dog do on America's Top Dog?
It's not the finale yet.
Okay, but he's still in it.
He's still in it, but the dog this past week, was incredible.
Okay.
I mean, he did it in a minute, so okay. I'm hoping that he makes it. Chopped Sweets. Are you guys watching Chopped Sweets?
What's Chopped Sweets?
It's chopped, but it's just sweet stuff.
Okay.
So, like, an episode can be donuts, and you open in the basket.
My daughter was watching that.
Yeah.
And there's ants, and, all kinds of weird crap, but you can only make desserts. So,
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and that's always been my favorite part of Chopped, is the dessert part of it. So, I was jacked that they're just doing Chopped Sweets.
Let's really focus on what people like.
Yeah. So, it's pretty good. I mean, other than the fact that they have to incorporate bugs into it and things like that, but that and The Expanse.
You eat the bugs.
We're both watching The Expanse now. Jeff told
How
us
far
on the
are
show
you in the first
5 years
heat?
Ago. Shut up.
How far are you in the first season?
I'm on episode 5.
I'm on episode 6 now.
Yeah,
it's a cool. I love that. I don't know. I started watching it. I think because Caitlin didn't get into it with me, and we were living downtown at the time or in Midtown at the time, and I just forgot about it.
So good.
Yeah. It's a really great sci-fi show.
I liked it when it first hit, and I watched it, and I didn't go back and rewatch since it came out, but I thought it was a really good premise for a sort of a real sci-fi show, not the sci-fantasy stuff. It,
right.
it felt good.
Yeah.
That's what hard sci-fi is. It's real science.
Yeah.
Real, like, science fact.
And
I can't remember the name of the, I think she's a Pakistani woman that plays sort of
the
president.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I get introduced to her in 24. She was one of the moms. I think it's season 3
not 24. Not my baby.
She's great.
Yep, she's amazing
on
there.
She's great.
You know, though, she's good in the House of Sand and Fog.
Yep.
It's a house made of sand and it's very foggy. You should be playing with it. The Mars people are starting the war with us. Shahora Agdashlu. Do you think she's ever smoked a cigarette in her life?
Oh, I'll tell you what. Turn the lights off. Talk to me that way. That's awesome.
Let me tickle your ball sack.
I feel like she was a colicky baby.
You think so?
Yeah. She may have been a little colicky.
Why don't you kiss me here?
She's got that mysterious, deep Mediterranean thing.
Nibble on my neck.
You almost sound Russian now.
Yeah.
I sat next to her at the Los Angeles airport one time, and we talked about Arnold Schwarzenegger while we smoked cigarettes.
I think she's cool. I like her. She's great. Very cool. I don't like the outfit she's walking around in a dress. Okay, whatever.
My last thing is that Netflix.
Wait, real quick. Are you having fun trying to figure out who the weirdos are that are attacking?
Yes. Yeah, me too. Very much so. Very much so. And the Netflix Pete Davidson stand-up special, I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. It was pretty good. There's a little, a lot of millennial speak, which I, and like. There's a lot of that, but I can... It's not so bad, and his punchlines are good enough to where I can get through it. And he had a lot of good punchlines.
Okay.
And your staff pick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Okay, my staff pick. All my staff picks have been really sucking balls the past several weeks. They've all been terrible.
I got a job for you then.
Oh, what's that?
I
don't do that ever. I don't do that anymore at all. We're old.
I quit. I don't do that anymore.
And he's not going anywhere, so I don't have to do that shit anymore. Thursday.
This is not encouraging me right now, okay?
Thursday, March 5th on Hulu. It's called Devs. And it's got my favorite, I love him, Nick Offerman.
Okay.
But he plays a very serious role. And this is the dude that did Ex Machina. Mm-hmm. He's the one who's behind the series. So it's a very creepy sci-fi show that looks really interesting. Okay. And there's like a whole mystery going on. And all of the actors, everybody that's in it looks really good. So just so that I can have another staff pick to make sure that I might have something that's good. The Most Dangerous Animal of All is on March 6th, and that's on FX. And that is a guy who thinks he may be the son of the Zodiac Killer.
Okay.
And so he's going through it's a whole documentary about him figuring out if that is his father or not.
I bet you it's not.
I don't know. But it looks interesting.
Because nobody knows who the Zodiac Killer is.
Well, true,
I
guess
it's Ted Cruz, probably.
Apparently these guys, a lot of... even though he was in diapers when the Zodiac Killer was killing people.
His dad killed JFK, and then he taught his son how to be a masterful child-killing machine. So Ted Cruz's dad would drive around and then kill people with Ted Cruz holding the knife.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, I don't know if this dude...
Now it makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if this guy 23andMe'd himself, and that's how he figured out he's the son of the Zodiac Killer.
Do they have the Zodiac Killer's DNA? I guess you got to watch this show.
You got to watch the show. But anyway, it's called The Most Dangerous Animal of All.
Jeff?
I watched the Impractical Jokers movie, which was really funny, and it was sold out at two shows I tried to go to, so I had to drive all the way to freaking Hiram to see it.
Only nothing wrong with Hiram.
And it opened. Yeah, I was right by your dad's place.
Oh, you should have stopped by.
And it opened wide this week too, and it's done like $6 million already for this weekend. Yeah, so it's good. And the only other stuff that I watched that you guys didn't watch is. Anyone check out this Mythic Quest on Apple TV?
Mm-mm.
This is that Rob McElhenney dude from that show that you guys like. You know who I mean.
Rob McElhenney.
It's so bizarre you don't like
Eric was talking about it. He said he liked it.
He was the fat guy, and then now he's the super jacked guy.
Yeah. Is it good?
Yeah. It's like kind of like The Office, kind of like Grandma's Boy a little bit. It's like this video game development company where he's the boss. And the whole episode centers on this one lady just wants to put a shovel into the game, and the dude doesn't like it at all, just because it's only a shovel.
Okay.
So he spends the entire episode trying to make a shovel cool.
All right, I'll check it out.
But yeah, I watched the first one, and it's pretty good. I thought you guys would probably like it.
Well, I would if I had that, but I don't have it.
If you have an iPhone, you can get it for a year for free.
You have Torrent.
Oh, no, but you have an iPhone.
Yeah, an iPhone.
Yeah,
I thought I had to get a new iPhone.
Just sign up for it. If you have an iPhone, they'll give you 1 year for free.
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't know that. I had no idea.
All right.
So check that out. It's called Mythic Quest. There's some kind of tagline to it, but I can't remember what that is. Raven's Banquet or something.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
What's your stat pick?
My stat pick is Altered Carbon Season 2. I'm almost done with Season 2 already.
Really? They just dropped it.
They did. It's only 8 episodes, though, so I started watching it.
Is it better than the one with Joel Kinnaman?
I wouldn't say it's better, but I'd say it's almost as good, if not as good, as the one with Joel Kinnaman.
First season was good.
Yeah.
All right.
Second season has a lot of action, and maybe not as many boobs, but Still good.
I thought you were going to pick that Jason Segel show.
I was just going to ask, anybody going to watch Dispatches from Elsewhere?
Somebody was talking about that last week, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You guys know about this? It's on after Better Call Saul tonight.
And it's a two-night premiere, and it's Jason
No, Better Call Saul is on Sunday night, so this is on after Walking Dead.
But Jason Segel like created it,
yeah.
Stars in it, and it's an anthology series where next season, if he gets another season, it's going to be a totally different cast and a totally different
Speaking of that.
Dean and Lisa were talking about it last week.
Okay. I might check it out. Speaking of that, you see Macaulay Culkin is joining American Horror Story.
I did see that. And they got Paulson back, and they got What's-His-Face back. So I'll probably check out this last season. It was garbage.
I also watched Guns Akimbo, which was that
Daniel Slice?
No, Daniel Radcliffe movie where you know that meme that they have him with the guns?
Yeah.
You see on the street? This is the movie that meme came from.
Oh, okay.
And that was pretty fun. Not great, but it was worth watching.
You guys have a staff pick?
The only things I'm going to give, because I don't watch as much as y'all. I got way so much going on. But I finally saw Knives Out. Came out on Blu-ray this week.
Right.
Great
movie.
Really loved it. Knives if you hadn't out. Talked about it before, but it's worth getting on Blu-ray.
Okay.
And started watching The Hunters on Amazon Prime.
I like it.
Yeah. You know what? It's getting a lot of grief because it's, quote, not historically accurate, but I think they're missing the point. They're sort of just... Why are you looking at me that way?
Because we hate it.
That was Tim and Steph's whole criticism that it's not historically accurate.
It's
not a fucking documentary. It's a comic book.
We've almost got into a bloodbath over this.
I have liked the first two episodes so far.
Terrible. Don't watch.
I love the fact that...
I've watched six and they're all good so far.
Okay, see, I'm loving it. And I will tell you, the fact that Al Pacino has not resorted to yelling to prove he can act is great. His accent's fantastic. His characterization.
And hear him quoting from the Talmud.
And it reminds me so much of Preacher, the way they use the title cards and the flashes. Yeah. I'm enjoying it so far.
I'm
only two episodes in.
Yeah, keep going.
You know
That's
what?
Good.
You don't have to like everything I like.
You know, it's fine.
Missy.
No, it's fine. I just don't understand how why did he have to explain to him why they were killing Nazis because of the Holocaust? And then he explains the Holocaust like this kid doesn't know about it. And then the kid's like, so you murder them? Yeah, fucker, we murder him. I mean, what are you talking about?
The first scene was the most preposterous, ridiculous thing I've ever seen in a TV show.
Bullshit.
The lady shows up with her boyfriend, and she remembers this concentration camp guard. She's 30.
Right.
It's 1977. She wasn't even born yet.
Right.
So, I mean, it's that kind of shit that drives me nuts.
It's
and
not
then,
historically accurate. It's not even like...
Normally accurate. Right. No, so it's 1977. They assemble these superhero teens from all walks of life. I'm sorry. The reality would have been they all would have been Jews.
Anyway, I'm enjoying it. So, folks, if you want to give it a try.
Alan, you are correct.
I think it's definitely worth giving it a shot. I do like the premise so far. I got to into it.
You know what, though?
It is slow. Don't expect it to be super fast-paced, and I like that. I like it when a series takes its time to develop.
I liked it the first time when it was called Inglourious Basterds.
Which wasn't slow. It was entertaining.
By the way, I think Inglourious Basterds has three great scenes, but it's not a great movie.
Oh, there we go.
That may explain why we don't agree on this. So.
Tomato Jutato.
Careful now, we're talking about Hunters.
Even the Jews hate the Hunters. I've seen all these you know, they have like the Holocaust Museum and stuff.
Because it's not supposed to be real. They set these ridiculous premises like bringing concentration camp people out to be playing live action chess. I mean, that didn't happen.
Right. I know.
You get it for the purpose of what the story elements are for. I enjoyed it. I think it's worth checking out. I'm going to continue to watch it.
Yeah.
And the only other thing that I finally saw in the theater, but it's probably old now, but if you haven't seen 1917, the way they try to make it look like it's one continuous
dying
shot.
To see that.
Just come out on
so
on
good
DVD and
is it on DVD? I thought it's on digital. Or, now,
yeah, it's on digital.
But by the time
now,
this comes out, I'm telling you, I took my father-in-law who was visiting to see it in the theater. We were one of the last people to see it. We had like the theater to ourselves. I was engrossed start to finish. One of the best World War I movies I've ever seen.
I'm so mad I didn't see it at the theater because I've heard that. You need
Do you remember
to see
Spectre? The movie Spectre, James Bond, you know how the very first like 6 or 7 minutes is one continuous shot?
That's great.
Same director, Sam Mendes. He just basically took that premise and said, I'm going to tell the whole movie this way.
Boy, that new Bond looks terrible. It's like 3 hours long. Everything they're saying about it makes me not want to watch it.
It doesn't look terrible, but if the Billie Eilish song is any indication, I can't stand that song.
I don't like her at all.
I like that's that one scene in Dannemora, was it? It Stiller did in episode 5 when he did that whole continuous shot.
Yeah.
It was like, what, 2 or 3 minutes long of him getting down to that area, that just set the tone for the whole episode or whatever. But anytime they can do that, it's always wild.
I want to check that out. I saw it was just out released on digital.
Well,
okay, I got a couple.
y'all have probably already talked about this, Living with Yourself with Paul Rudd.
Yeah, I love
great
that.
Great show.
Yeah, I kind of stumbled across it by accident, and I thought, oh, this will be pretty funny. And I need to go back and rewatch it because I know there's stuff I missed now.
It's really deep.
It is deep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really just you kind of think when you're done. But that was great. And there was another one that I was watching on Netflix this week, I Am a Killer. Have y'all seen that?
Mm-mm. No, I've heard of it.
They
though.
Just wrapped up season two. It's a documentary, but they go into death row and interview murderers.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then they go out and interview like their victims and stuff. And so there's a bunch of stuff where they're talking to the murderer and they're like, well, you know, I've really reformed and I'm sorry this happened. It was an accident. And then they go out and he's like, he put his boot on his throat and shot him in the face. And so that like you get the
Whoops.
Real story. Of
yeah.
It. So that is excellent. I mean, it's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen.
I'll watch that.
And then one other that I would recommend. Have y'all watched The War on Amazon Prime?
No.
Uh-uh.
It's a documentary. It was done by Ricky Schroeder. He's the EP for it. And
I don't like getting him worked up.
Yeah, no, don't get him worked up. He follows four Westerners that go to Syria and volunteer as medics
in
the fight against ISIS. And you're
ISIL?
I was worn out afterwards. ISIL, yeah, ISIL. Mm. I mean, I was so tired afterwards. Just
it's so intense.
Because it's so intense. But it is really great, and it gives you a good insight into why you never want to go to war.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Walton Allen, thank you very much. The Wilder Ride podcast resumes with season three.
Season three. It'll be just keeping an eye
keep it out there.
Yeah, because we're a little behind in the recording with some of the things we talked about already in the show. But find us on Facebook and then join our listeners group. Then you become inside our private listeners group. It's really easy. All you have to do is answer three questions. Make sure you're not a Russian bot trying to change the voting.
I'd also like to watch these movies with the Gene Wilder.
Or be the Russian bot, but answer the questions, okay? But if you do that way you're in the middle of the group. You guys are in it, and we'll keep everybody posted as we go along. Plus, it's a great place to share entertainment and stuff. It doesn't have to be just Gene Wilder. We have a lot of fun.
All right.
We've also got a couple hundred episodes already out there on two other movies, and then we broke down some other movies on our Patreon page.
Cool. So check it out.
Barkville Dog Rescue, please, we need your donations, your volunteerism, anything that you can do. There was another huge dogfighting bust in Middle Georgia this week.
I saw that in the news.
Yeah, and it's like, it's sickening. Crap is never going to stop, I guess. I don't know, especially down here. But either way, adopt my foster dog so that I can have my foster spot open again. I can bring in another dog. Obviously, there's constant need. She's great. She's a year and a half old. She's very sassy.
What's her name?
Jocelyn. Jocelyn, yeah.
For fun, occasional social commentary and gags and things. You can follow Steph on Instagram or Twitter and watch her videos she shoots in her car.
watch her eating donuts in her car.
Polish donuts.
It's only
the Polish
Tuesday.
Donut. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only when the mood strikes.
Are you Polish
me.
Or you just like Polish food?
I love Polish food. I'm German.
See, I'm Polish.
German.
Oh, yeah. You guys, you came invaded. We had our pitchfork. You had your guns.
Well, we could screw in light bulbs. So, all by ourselves.
You should have
used to, and then I got married.
You should have given them access to Prussia.
That's right. And you shouldn't have had screen doors on
That's
your submarines.
It's German. Hey, how do you drive Alan crazy? Put him in a round room and tell him to pee in a corner.
Pee in a corner. How do you get a one-arm Alan out of a tree?
Al,
wave.
Wave.
Hey!
Were you from Hamtramck?
Yes. I was Detroit, but...
Thank you, guys. Next week on the show, Ira will be with us, and hopefully with a game. And what do you mean he has Atlanta United tickets?
That's
are we giving them away?
No, that's why he's got to leave early. So that's why we're doing it at 1 o'clock.
Oh, all right. That's fine. And we will be joined by Waco O'Gwin and Roger Black. Those guys are the creators of
Paradise PD, and there's a big crossover between Paradise PD and Brickleberry.
I see
season.
That. In yeah. there. So we'll have those guys on, catch up with them. Also, Roger is known as, used to be Yucko the Clown.
Yep.
Does he no longer reprise that role at all?
I don't know where he would do it. We will ask him. If you have any questions, go to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Follow us on social media at @radio_labyrinth. Facebook is facebook.com Radio Labyrinth. And until next week.
Wait, rate us and review us.
Oh, yeah,
rate
please.
Rate us and review us.
Where?
On any of your pod people, but mostly on Apple.
Share us with somebody you know that might like the show. We're Gen X based, really.
and above. But
that's the actual point to make. They're moving more toward, if you want people to get back to you, you want Apple to kind of put you out there, make sure you're sharing the links and telling people, put the link to the show, share it on social media. That's going to help you guys.
Yeah, share it on social media. Tell your friends. And until next time,
keep it canon.
Yeah, keep it tight, baby.